take a little time, a little time to think things over. I better read between the lines in case I need it when I'm older. Mountain I must climb feels like the world upon my shoulder. Through the clouds I see love shine, it keeps me warm as life grows colder. In my life there's been heartache and pain.
Hey there, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope with Rodney Bathers. Once again, we have just an excellent guest this week. It's Mr. Tom Van Deck, and he's an expert in meditation, and he's going to be speaking with us on how to use meditation to address any issues we may have with stress. This discussion is specifically tailored to ex-offenders and our friends and families. Extremely useful information from Mr. Tom Van Deck, so join us, won't you, for this week's edition of Journey of Hope. Hey everybody, big month of January coming up. We have Tanya Leontov coming up this month. She's the executive director of a reentry program called Focus that I want you to know about. And we have authors Donna Headley, author Jay Forte, and other amazing guests coming up in the month of January right here on The Journey of Hope. Everybody, and welcome back. Our special guest today is Tom Van Deck. Tom is a corporate meditation trainer, a stress management speaker, and author of a book entitled Oceanic Mind, the Deeper Meditation Training Course. Hey, Tom, welcome back.
Hey, Rodney.
And we had talked last time a little bit, and we had decided that there were some things that we hadn't quite addressed, and so I asked you to come back on the show, but let's start with a good definition of what meditation is.
Okay. Meditation is the art of being present with moment-to-moment experience as it arises into consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And that means thoughts, that means emotions, that means whatever you're experiencing in the moment. And it's a long-term training process. So the more you train your mind to do this, the more you're able to become present and respond to the moment appropriately and in a healthy way,
mm-hmm.
no matter what comes up, whether it's an uncomfortable experience or comfortable experience, pleasant experience, exciting experience, or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I noticed on your website that you equate it to falling in love. Explain that for me.
Yes. Most meditation techniques start out with an object of focus, And what you're doing is you're falling in love with the subject of focus and become more and more present with it on a deeper and deeper level.
Now, Tom, we all deal with stress in our lives, and one of the reasons I really wanted you on the show is to talk about how meditation can address the issue of stress. Could you explain to us a little bit about how meditation affects us when we're trying to deal with stressful situations?
Yeah, so but stress doesn't come from situations. It comes from how we deal with those situations.
Ah.
Yeah, and usually when an experience is uncomfortable, we tend to shut down the experience. So that we don't want to feel so much, so maybe the ego shuts down the breath a little bit, or it restricts the breath, and then we don't have to be as aware of the uncomfortable stuff. And then when something exciting happens, we tend to cling to it. And so that clinging and that repulsion process tends to create all the stress within us.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we are present with consciousness as it occurs in the moment, and we train ourselves to do that, then we gradually gain insight into the real cause of stress and kind of pluck it out at its root.
One of the things our listeners might have a question about, Tom, and as I go through your website, I notice that you mention Buddhism, and there seems to be a lot of the root of the philosophy of meditation comes from there. But you don't have to be a Buddhist to meditate, right?
Oh no, the Buddhists just had it down to a science. They had, you know, some devotional approaches to meditation. They had some more secular approaches to meditation, and they just kind of worked out a whole anatomy and a whole science behind meditation so that we could put it into practice. But meditation, Christians meditate when they go into a state of deep, sincere prayer. When you're really absorbed in what you're doing, you're really absorbed in your prayer, then that's meditation. It's just the symbol. All the cultural symbols change throughout different traditions, and these traditions come from different parts of the world who develop it, and they develop their own symbologies. But we all have our own personal symbologies too, and that's all compatible with meditation.
So meditation is not contrary to Christianity. I mean, that's kind of the point I was trying to drive home there, and it sounds to me like you're definitely agreeing with that.
Right. Meditation is just a concentrated form of prayer.
Yeah. So let's get into the specifics here. It's obviously something that's can be very useful for us. How does one go about meditating? If you could just explain to us in detail what the steps are for meditation.
Okay, so the simplest anatomy of a meditation technique involves, well, you're either sitting, sometimes you're standing if your object of focus is walking, but most of the time, and with most practices, you're sitting in a chair, and you usually close your eyes, or you close them partially, and then you just concentrate on your chosen object of focus. And the mind is always chattery. Even in advanced meditators, it gets really chattery. And so what you do when your mind strays is you either just bring your attention back to the object of focus. That's a concentration meditation. Or what you do is when thoughts come up, you just take note of the thoughts as they're occurring. You can use the word thinking. Mm-hmm. Just lightly touch that thought and let yourself know that you're thinking, or that you're angry at your mother. You can just say the word anger and just take note of what's happening in the moment. So you're just pretending that you're the sky and the thoughts are just the clouds, and you're letting them do their thing, and then you just gently, without judgment, you bring your attention back to the object of focus. So that's the mindfulness element. Mm-hmm. There's concentration and there's mindfulness. And that's it. Techniques get more and more complex, but most simple meditation techniques follow that formula. And then there are also like warm-ups of different kinds and ways to integrate meditation into your day. And some practices also have a way of projecting by through prayer if you're doing either prayer or healing work after your meditation.
Could you give us an example of a warm-up? What would that be?
Yeah, warm-up would be like stretching before meditation or visualizing other people being happy. You're visualizing your neighbors with big smiles on their faces, or maybe you're visualizing Jesus blessing your neighbors and lifting them up, and you can do that with your enemies too. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, there are all kinds of different ways to warm up, but I often like to start out with physical exercises, so that can be stretching, it can be self-massage or wiping the body. The Buddhists have this thing called metta, which is that loving-kindness stuff that I described before, where you're visualizing other people and yourself being happy.
Mm-hmm.
And some people read scripture. Like in some contemplative Christian traditions, they start out by reading scripture, and that's called the step ladder to heaven. There's like a multi-step process that allows meditation to become easier.
Mm-hmm. And in your materials, you explain how to do all this, right?
Yeah.
You know, I've kind of played around with Tom meditation a little bit, and you know, I don't mean to be flippant here, but I have a problem, and here's what it is. Whenever I sit down and try to focus, say, on an object or on a breath, like you were talking about,
yeah,
the end result is always that I get sleepy. Is that a common problem?
Yeah, that's very common. Sometimes it's just your way of trying to shut out the experience. The brain's going to resist it. That's why it's a long-term training process. So sometimes you're going to be really concentrated and really blissful and mm-hmm. Relaxed, and then sometimes your brain is just going to resist a lot. And the key is to just keep a good momentum going. So
that's interesting.
Doing it daily, even if you only have 5 minutes to do it daily, the 5 minutes is good. As long as you keep it consistent so that you're creating a habit.
Well, that was my next question, Tom, is what kind of a schedule should someone have if they want to get into meditation to help reduce their stress levels and to relax a little bit? What kind of a schedule are we talking about here?
Well, it's nice to set a certain amount of time at a certain time each day, probably the same time each day. Not after you eat. It might be good to wait 2 or 3 hours after you eat to do it. But either in the morning or at night or whenever, just picking a time to do it. It doesn't really matter too much how long you do it. You can aim for an hour, and an hour is tough for beginners, but you can break it down into parts. And then also, if you only have 5 minutes, that'll still bring good benefits. And other than that, I mean, you can just slip calming activities into your day too, just during the downtimes of the day.
That you brought up a couple of good points there that I want to address both of these. The first one being, if you have a structured schedule for meditation, what if you just get pissed off one day in the middle of the day? Can you use meditation at that point, and this would be of interest to my listeners, to help yourself out of that situation so that you don't act in an inappropriate way? Can meditation be used in that way?
Okay, I missed part of what you said, and it ruined the whole thing.
Well, let's say that Tom, that I get angry at some point during the day. Can I just meditate on the side of the road or in a parking lot somewhere as a way to address the anger and to keep me from acting out in an inappropriate way? And that's of interest to the people that listen to this show, including me. Can we use meditation spontaneously to help us control our temper, per se?
Yeah, I mean, temper is just a way of reacting to experience. So when you, so you could stop and take a break and just be present with yourself. You're going to calm down, take a few deep breaths, and then just check in with yourself. Over time, if you keep doing that, it's going to loosen that grip that anger has on you, so you're not reacting to it. You're just being present with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very interesting. I've also read in some materials that there's actually a physiological response to meditation. In other words, it can actually physically do things to your body. Could you address that for us and tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. The Dalai Lama has been working with a group of monks over the past few years to get meditation studied more by neuroscience. And about 10 years ago, the functional MRI was invented. Mm-hmm. And that traces what's going on in your brain at the moment. And so there have been a lot of studies on that. And it actually changes the physiology of your brain.
Wow.
Like if you do some kind of exercise, mental exercise for a long time, it'll change the functioning of your brain. So if you juggle, you're going to develop fine visual skills, and those parts of the brain will thicken, the ones that have to do with fine visual skills and also coordination. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with meditation. So the concentration, and it'll change the parts of the brain that deal with moods, so it'll balance your hormones, and it will also create more connections in your brain in the areas of the brain dealing with positive emotions, and then the fight or flight stuff in the amygdala will decrease the more you meditate. And also there's brain synchronicity, something they call whole brain functioning, where your whole brain is creating more synapses, which means there's more connections between neurons and more communication between all the different parts of the brain.
Uh-huh.
So then the systems of your body end up working more efficiently. The systems of the mind end up working more efficiently, and you become more intuitive and have more energy, too.
Excellent. This is all very interesting. And, Tom, there are a lot of people that listen to this program that, and I want to kind of switch gears here a little bit and talk about how this can affect you in the workplace. I know that you do workshops in the workplace and so forth. But a lot of my listeners, because of their felony and their conviction, have had to take jobs that are less than desirable. And so they have to function in those jobs in order to pay their bills and to pay their rent. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm wondering, how can they use meditation to help us deal with those stressors in the workplace?
Yeah. So in the in workplaces in the United States, the estimated price tag associated with stress is about $300 billion per year.
And what does that mean?
It comes out to about $2,000 per employee.
What does that mean exactly? Is it time away from work? Is it stress-related illness like heart disease? What exactly does that mean?
Yeah, there's both of those, and then there's turnover, and then there's just bad communication and resentment, and there are all kinds of factors that impacts the bottom line.
Uh-huh.
Medical claims, and of course absences, like you mentioned.
So in your workshops, what is it that you're teaching the employees to do to deal with the workplace stressors?
Well, they learn how to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
And then we learn like three or four simple techniques, and then ideas on how to customize the techniques so that they're compatible with every aspect of the practice, and various methods of integrating meditation into your day so that it becomes easier, and ways to warm up for meditation, and also interpersonal conflict training too, because you can apply the principles of meditation.
How exactly does that work? That's very interesting. How does that work?
Okay, well, anyone who's messing with you in some way has a little pocket of tension. And what they're doing is they're finding a little weak spot within you, another little pocket of tension, and they're poking at it. And all they're really doing is they're asking you to soften that tension. So the more present you can be with that person, and the more present you can be with your breath, then the more you can get to the bottom of what the real issue is and deal with the reality of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you clear, let's say you're not assertive, you know, like you're too nice. You're not being assertive, and then people just keep coming at you, being mean to you, and people are going to keep doing that until you become assertive. What they're doing is they're pointing at a spot within you and mm-hmm. asking you to soften that tension so that you become more integrated. Mm-hmm. When you have a tension spot, there's nothing flowing through it, and so the more integrated you become by becoming more present with your experience, the better you can deal with the reality of the moment as it's happening. And then you're also helping that other person to clear their weaknesses.
Very interesting. One of the things I hear you saying that's interesting to me is that when people are using meditation to help them deal with stress, it's not that they're using the meditation to dodge a problem, but they're using the meditation to better equip them to deal with the problem. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yeah, it's not a form of escapism. If you use it to escape, it'll just get you into trouble. But
right.
Yeah, meditation involves being present with what's happening so you know how to respond.
Mm-hmm.
Proper response doesn't necessarily mean chilling out. It can mean an uppercut in the jaw, too. But when you're more present with yourself and more relaxed, you have a greater range of choices on what to do in each moment.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Now, we had talked before, and we didn't get to include this in the conversation, and I want to be sure and do this today. You have some ideas about how meditation can relate to criminal justice and so forth. Let's go into that a little bit. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, I do know in the United States, it's very much a punishment culture, and there's more than 2 million people incarcerated, whether they need to be there or not, and the focus is generally on punishment and on making people uncomfortable. That includes when they're behind bars and after they get out.
You would be hard pressed to find.
They can't get a job.
Yeah,
and sometimes that means no toilet paper. And there isn't much sympathy outside the prisons for people who are in prison because everyone's trained to think, okay, they did something wrong, so they deserve whatever happens. So. In some cultures of old, maybe some culture these days too, the emphasis was on healing a person's relationship with the community. And I think if we focus on healing a person's relationship with himself or herself and with the community that he's involved in, I think we'll have much better results in the criminal justice system than just turning it into a labor factory with high recidivism rates and maybe people will be less likely to go back if they learn how to make friends with themselves through techniques such as meditation.
Wow, very powerful. Tom Von Deck, Tom, your information is just excellent, and I want to encourage all the listeners to check out your website. How can people get in touch with you and find your materials?
Yeah, the website is at deepermeditation.net.
Okay, and Tom Von Deck, I will be sure when the show is posted, I will have a link up next to the show so that everybody can find your materials. Tom, the book is called Oceanic Mind, the Deeper Meditation Training Course, and some of that book is available for free, isn't it, on your site?
Yeah, you can get half the book for free on the site in PDF form, and then there's also some free guided meditation MP3s so that you can learn some simple meditation techniques.
Everybody that I know that has worked through meditation has positive things to say about it. It's something that I toy around with myself. I ought to be a little bit more serious about it because I do believe it's been beneficial. Tom Von Deck, thank you so much for being here today. My name's Rodney Mathers, and we'll be right back after this on The Journey of Hope.
I'm so lonesome all the time. Since I left my baby behind on Blue Bayou, saving nickels, saving dimes, working till the sun don't shine, looking forward to happier times on Blue Bayou.
the woman that I've always dreamed of. I knew it from the start.
Hey, y'all, keep that mail coming. I love getting it. It's mathersrodney@yahoo.com, mathersrodney @yahoo.com. Mail me.
It's not the things you do. It's how I feel each time you're close to me that keeps me close to you. Whoa, you are the woman that I've always...
Hey, I want to thank my special guest, Mr. Tom Von Deck, and I want to remind you of something. If God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.